You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
On the left wing for the win! He shoots and scores! 5-4! Edmonton in the five. The deuce is loose. Touchdown Elks. Trey Ford into the end zone.
Edmonton's home for great stories, local heroes, and everything you need on the Oilers and Elks. This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law.
Austin Matthews has just scored his 65th of the season, coming on the power play, 2:10 into the third period now. Maple Leafs leading the Penguins 2-1. Coming up in about an hour, it's the Golden Knights and the Canucks. If the Canucks lose in regulation time, they will remain just 3 points ahead of the Oilers for first in the Pacific, and the Oilers will have 2 games in hand. Looks like Tomas Hertl is going to play for the Golden Knights tonight. Home opener for the Blue Jays. So far, so good. Bottom of the fifth, they lead Seattle 4-0. Berrios on the hill, 4 strikeouts. He's given up 3 hits through 5 innings now. Basketball tonight, you got Purdue and Connecticut for the men's national championship, and the big women's hockey game, likely a preview of the gold medal game at Women's Worlds in Utica, Canada, and the United States scoreless into the third period. So we'll keep an eye on that one tonight as well. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Next game for the Oilers coming up on Wednesday. It'll start a stretch of 6 games in 9 nights to finish off the regular season. So Wednesday, 5 o'clock for the faceoff show, 6:30, the start of the game. A little bit of a different time there for a home game at Rogers Place. The Oilers, well, most of them on the ice today. Well, a little over half, I suppose, as many of the higher-minute players did not participate in today's practice, but they will all be back out there for tomorrow's practice. You heard Bob talking about it. It has been a discussion point. Corey Perry getting a little upset with Evander Kane during the second period on the bench during the win over the Calgary Flames. And Perry and Kane both talked about it today, and Perry says, look, we as players got to hold each other accountable.
That's what makes a team work, right? That's how you win. I mean, you hold everybody accountable. You push everybody's buttons. You do whatever you have to do to get the best out of everybody. And, just at that point, it was something him and I had, and but it could be anybody. And it doesn't matter, you know, who it is. You're just trying to be better and win in each game.
All right. No, they didn't talk about what exact play brought this on, but there were a couple moments for Kane that were tough ones. I know after the game on Saturday, Rob and I talked about Perry being open for a cycle behind the net and Kane making a hope pass out front that the Flames took the other way, and that in the postseason, those types of plays could be very, very costly, that guys like that, Kane and Perry, big guys, they're expected to keep the puck down low and take some abuse and take hits and keep the puck alive that way. And Perry says, yeah, for sure, every detail matters in the postseason.
In the playoffs, everything's under a microscope, and it's
a 3-2 game because you made a mistake.
Exactly. It's that 3-2 game could be in game 7. So, you know, and all of a sudden your season's over. So you eliminate those now and you push forward, and you try to get those out of your game and try to find that right way to play. And I think as of late, we've been doing a pretty good job.
All right. And as for Evander Kane, who told us today that he and Corey Perry are partners in the team's Masters pool, which is exciting. Masters coming up on Thursday. Kane had this to say about the Oilers' preparedness for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen good teams recently throughout the league struggle down the stretch or haven't had their best game or haven't been playing the way they have been for the majority of the season. And I mean, you obviously want to feel good heading into the playoffs and, you know, have your game in tip-top shape, but at the same time, you know, when the regular season ends and the playoffs start, it's a clean slate. It's a new season. And, you know, as much as we want to talk about having our game in the right order, which you do, none of that matters come game one. It's all about what you do in game one and then game two and game three and so on. So it's a different season.
All right, different season and one that is a big focus now. The Oilers are in. Who will they play? And there's obviously some forethought here about getting players as much rest as they can. Now, with only a couple of extra players on the roster, you know, you're not in a position to do any load management for the guys who play a lot, but maybe some opportunities in games to get them some breaks. As I said today, not everybody was on the ice, so I think a little bit of a extra day off the ice for the McDavids and Draisaitls of the world. And also, you know, Knobloch still coaching in game based on what's happening, and they mixed up the lines again in the third period against Calgary, including Connor Brown getting shifts with Leon Draisaitl. We haven't seen him that high in a while. Knobloch explained why he wanted to shuffle him up.
We played a terrible second period. Yeah, we just needed to play the guys a little bit more who were playing well and maybe spread our depth out a little bit more. I think that had a big part of it. And yeah, we're just trying to change the flow of the game because the second period, we weren't doing much well.
They were not. That was a period controlled by the Calgary Flames. Knobloch also had this to say about the third defensive pairing, Kulak and Desharnais, getting some more ice time.
I think they've been playing so well. I know and analytics are one thing, but you look at the expected goals against on pairs, and I think they've been doing a pretty good job. And I think the more minutes they can play, the more effective the other pairs are, and you're not relying on them so much. So as for a third pair, I think it's been quite a long time now that they've been one of the best in the NHL, and I'm sure there's other coaches that feel that theirs third pair is the best, but I don't know, looking around the league, that there'd be two guys that I feel more comfortable with than Kulak and Vinny. So yeah, they've been playing very well.
All right, so a quick summary there from Oilers practice today, as they will skate again tomorrow at 11, game against the Golden Knights on Wednesday. Happy to hear from you tonight. 780-496-0063 is the good old hotline, presented by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way. You can email the show, insidesports@630ched.com. We'll also talk some Western Hockey League playoffs tonight with Kalen Lynn from the Red Deer Rebels. We'll touch on some basketball stories with the great hoopster from right here at Edmonton, Michelle Plouffe. And he will have his take on Kane and Perry and some personal recollections of teammates fighting. Kelly Rudy coming up next on Inside Sports.
You're listening to 630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins.
I appreciate you tuning in tonight. Canada and the United States playing at the Women's World Hockey Championship. Canada on a power play. It's scoreless with 4 minutes left in the third period. He joins us every week on Inside Sports, presented by Sentinel Storage. They shoot, we store. Try 4 weeks free at sentinelstorage.ca. Former NHL goaltender, now a broadcaster with the NHL on Rogers, it's Kelly Rudy. Kelly, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Oh, boy, Reed, I'm doing great. I'm sitting outside a hotel in a place just outside San Jose. It's a part of San Jose. It's called Santana Row. I think some of the NHL teams stay in this area because it's just fabulous. Lots of shops, lots of restaurants and things to do. I got here yesterday. And the Flames got here today, so I'm looking for my job today, Reed. I was sitting outside, and Rick Ball, my broadcast partner, sent me a text. He goes, your only duty this afternoon is to find a nice patio so Ryan Leslie, Rick Ball, and myself can have dinner somewhere outside tonight.
Okay. Well, I am sure you have achieved that objective because you know all the great spots to hang out and eat in the league. When you go back to San Jose, L.A., or the Islanders, or to New York area, will you ever, and maybe it wouldn't mean anything if you weren't with your wife, would you ever drive by an old residence to see how it is?
Oh, we've done that for sure. Yeah. Yes. We've done it to just my wife and I, and we've done it with our kids, especially in Los Angeles. Here, I think the house that we were in here, it was knocked down. It was pretty old, and I think somebody built something new on it. But and we've talked about it when we go back to Long Island to go buy our house that we lived in a place called East Northport. But it's quite a ways. That'd be a good hour more outside of Manhattan. So we'd need a full day, and that would be kind of fun, though, to see that place.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're settled in there. Should clarify, I did not call you earlier in the day to yell at you to get you ready for this interview.
That's very funny.
So first of all, when you saw the Kane Perry stuff on Saturday, what were you thinking?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Well, you know, I kind of felt badly that it was caught on camera because a lot of those things happen, right? But most often it's in the dressing room or maybe on a bus where you might have a confrontation with somebody or some place other than on the bench. Although it's not the most unusual. Like, you know, I was thinking about that and I knew we were going to chat about it today. And I was thinking, well, when did Pittsburgh win their two cups? And that was 2016, 2017. And remember all the fighting on their bench? There was Kessel, there's Malkin going at it. There's Crosby on occasion. Rick Tocchet was the assistant coach and he was trying to be kind of like a mediator to that whole thing. And I remember the first year in 2016 when it was happening, we're like, oh, my gosh, there's not a chance that they can win. You know, that's going to tear their team apart. And on the contrary, they seem to do it often in those playoffs, both of them, both years. And it didn't harm a single thing. And so I think you can learn to recognize that, you know, it's not the most common thing, but it's not unusual. And then I heard Perry's comments today about brothers fight, and it seemed as though they're joking about it. So move on. And I also like that the coach didn't separate them on the line. It was pretty obvious what happened, that Perry was down low, I think right around the goal line, and Kane was had his back to him, and he tried a dangerous pass in front, and Perry was mad that he didn't just cycle the puck down low and get it to Perry. So that's pretty understandable. Kevin made the comment on the air, though, that it is a little unusual for Perry to do that because he's kind of a shy guy. Now, I don't know him very well, but when a former teammate says that, then that kind of sets it apart a little bit.
Yeah, Rob and I talked about that after the game, too, that play by Kane is not a good playoff play. You know, like,
no, it's not.
And with guys the size of Kane and Perry, you expect them to control the puck below the icing line and take abuse. Yes. and keep plays alive. Is there?
Yes, exactly.
Now, you were right. They joked about it today. They both answered the questions about it. Yeah. Is it, what to you, though, would be over the line with a team? I mean, obviously, if you punched a guy or something, I assume, but like in terms of verbal stuff, what would be too far between teammates?
Holy cow. Well, you'd have to be critical of a family member or something. That's completely offside. I think one of the things we always said, you can tease anybody about pretty much anything, but you can't tease the children. So children are offside completely. Don't go in that direction. But if you want a joke about a guy's appearance or something that happened on the ice or off the ice, you can go pretty much in any direction you want. But family is a no-go zone.
All right. So you played. Did you ever, like, is there a significant run-in that you had with a teammate or that you witnessed between teammates that still sticks with you?
Well, I remember one, and I'll be very vague, and it was three teammates got into it. Two guys were on one particular side of this topic, and another guy was against it. And this carried over into the hotel and into, I could hear the confrontation through hotel rooms, because we weren't staying at a great hotel, so you could pretty much hear everything through the walls, and it got very, very heated. And of course, I've had confrontation. Back in the day, I'm old now, Reed, and I don't like confrontation very much anymore. But back in the day, I certainly had no problem with it. And so if I felt somebody was doing something that wasn't in the best interest of the team, I had no problem whatsoever. Usually it was between periods or at the end of the game that I would say something. And you know, I had no problem if somebody said the same thing to me. That's all fair when you're trying to win hockey games.
Okay, so I know you don't want to throw those guys under the bus, but those three guys, you said topic. Was it an off-ice issue, or was it something on ice that carried back to the hotel?
It was related to the game, but it wasn't on ice. I have to be vague because I just don't want anybody to hear this and go, oh, Kelly's talking about these guys. It was related to the game of hockey, but not actually about the play on the ice.
Okay. And you said you would say stuff, and guys, so like if you let in, whatever, 4 goals on 17 shots, like after two periods, like if I'm your D-man and I looked at you, said, you're going to stop one, Kelly? Like you'd be okay with that or whatever? I don't know what guy would say, but you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely challenged. I mean, something, it would be something like, Kelly, we need to save this period. Like, you've got to really come up big here for us. And I fully accepted that. That, to me, was no problem. That's just an honest comment, and the guy meant it, and I accepted it. There's no problem with that for me, because I would do the same thing. Like, you can't make that hope pass in that situation. That's just totally unacceptable, and don't do it again. And they would accept that. So it's just, you have to be very blunt. You can't be vague either. You can't have, whether somebody's talking to me or I'm talking to a teammate, you can't have it where they're unsure of what you mean. You've got to get right to the point, and if it seems a little harsh, then you have to accept it.
Okay. Well, I think Perry was getting to the point, so that was well handled. Kelly Rudy joining
100%.
Us. 100%. Kelly Rudy joining us on Insights. We're speaking of getting to the point, or perhaps getting a lot of points and getting to the point of contact. I think both those things apply to Matthias Ekholm this season, and certainly this weekend.
Right? Huge. And, you know, Kevin and I talked about it. We never got to have this conversation on the air, but Kevin was asking me what I thought of the hits on Rantanen and whether they had crossed the line or if there's any reason that the league would be looking at it. And I said, absolutely not. And that, you know, as everybody knows, that's the reason why you get that guy from Nashville, because that's what he does. He's a great physical player, better offensively than some people recognize, and he will be extremely important in the playoffs for the Oilers. I love that guy.
Well, he's a fan favorite here. He's plus 50 or whatever since he came to the Oilers, so he's on for a lot. And it's amazing the impact he's had on Bouchard. Like, you can't break those two guys up.
Oh, I agree. And we talked about it. I don't know if we ever talked about it on air, Reed, but we talked about Bouchard and his struggles early on in the season. And it was because of Ekholm's absence or not being healthy enough when he came back early. But yeah, he has really settled him down. Bouchard is a much different looking player, and he carries himself with a lot of swagger now, which he didn't have in the early part of the season.
All right. Kelly, appreciate you doing this. Enjoy the patios. Enjoy San Jose. And we'll talk to you next week as the playoffs are right around the corner, my friend.
You got it. I know Rick Ball and I are going to have a nice glass of red wine somewhere outside and enjoy the beautiful weather here in California.
Right on. That is Kelly Rudy checking in from San Jose, presented by Sentinel Storage. They shoot, we store. Try 4 weeks free at sentinelstorage.ca. So teammates arguing in a hotel room that he could hear through the thin walls. That's a memory he has of conflict between teammates. Always appreciate having Kelly on the show. They are in 3-on-3 overtime at the Women's World Hockey Championship in Utica, New York. 3.5 minutes to go in the 5-minute OT. Scoreless Canada and the United States. The U.S. had a couple glorious opportunities in front of the net. Not sure how they didn't score. So they play on in that one. Of course, this is a round robin game, so the winner is going to have the advantage of likely being the number one seed once we do get into the playoff round. But it's been entertaining, good 3-on-3 action with the United States having the puck most of the time. So we will have a result. Maybe even by the time we get back after the news, we'll have a result on that one. The basketball game is tipped off, so we'll keep an eye on that one as well. And we'll get reaction to that game going on, to Caitlin Clark and the amazing ratings that the women's game had, and what's going on with her 3x3 team. Michelle Plouffe is coming up.